think Shua was trying to make the point that perhaps perhaps the Ritva doesn't have to go as far as I was suggesting. So actually, Avi came to me afterwards to go to show me inside the Ritva. It seems like I may have read the Ritva too much in the context of the Shita Mukhabetza. So the actual Ritva does go further than Ravina Yona in what he says, certainly in his formulation of the idea that Shaktu is implicit in the Mishnah, because it is the foundation of the din of Tainus Besulim. But we couldn't find in the Ritva explicitly the Chiddush that Tariach doesn't work except in the times, thank you, when there's no Bezdin on Sheni V'Chamishi. That actually is not, that we attributed to the Ritva, that seems to have been a stretch. That's the Shita Mukhabetza's extension. That's what you wanted to say originally, Shua?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're correct. So basically we have three levels of this perspective. You have Rabbeinu Yona, and it also appears as Adeya and the Meiri and some others, that this is the equivalent of Ein Adam Tareach Besuda Mafsida. So it isn't Shaktu per se, but Shaktu is a way of investing in Tainus Besulim, or in ensuring that Tainus Besulim will be, as I say, a Takana, not a Kalkala. That's that we find in a number of the Chachmei Svarad and Chachmei Provence. Then the Ritva takes us a step further and really sees it, is also establishing Shaktu in the Mishnah and some other Lushonos that he has. And then the Shita Mukhabetza is the one that takes it even that giant step beyond that and says that's why it's a Takana Kvua, and even Tariach Lei, it can't substitute the factors for the structure or for the Tzura, and that there really is a din of Yoma Nesuin, which transcends even the rationale that underpins it. So that is the Shita Mukhabetza. So it turns out actually that the Shita Mukhabetza material has the two most, clear-cut and extreme views on Shaktu, as it happens. And in between, we have some other shitas. The Shita Mukhabetza has the perspective that really the whole Tainus Besulim, right, is just a sniff to Shaktu, and Shaktu is the Ikar HaMechayev. That's one perspective. That's certainly Shita Mukhabetza. And the other one is the expansion of the Ritva, that really Shaktu is practically doesn't exist, or if it did exist in its own right, it would be a much lesser takana, and certainly it would have the ability of Tariach Lei as a factor, maybe even Mechilas Ha'isha, or Mechilas Shnehem, etc. But because it is merely the propping up of Tainus Besulim, that that basically establishes in the other way. So you have two opposite views, whether Shaktu is very important and central, or Shaktu is actually more peripheral. And then in between, as I say, there's a whole group of Rishonim who think that Tainus Besulim and Shaktu are two different dinim. And while they think that Shaktu is more than bracha, like everybody says, you're not going to be in Arvar, like Tosa says on Beis Amud Aleph, and most Rishonim agree, no one's going to be in Avaryana for getting married in a day other than, the bracha day. It's a kiyum, and it's a sniff or reason, to prefer one day over another. But no one's going to say you're in Avaryana. Certainly no one's going to say that it's ma'akev. I don't think anybody ever said that it's ma'akev at all, but the closest they say is that you shouldn't do it, and you're an avaryana, if you do. But so people say shaktu, for shaktu you're an avaryana, but still that's much less than the takana of the Mishnah. And then the question is, and this is it becomes the important thing about shaktu, then becomes like, what is it? What is shaktu? Is it a din in the Zayin Yemei Mishta? Is it a din in the Suda? If it's a din in the Suda, is it a din in Kavod? Some are talking about the formulation of Kavod, especially the Rimigash, they talk about Kvod Mishpachta, Kvodo, Kvod Mishpachta. It's interesting. Some Rishonim speak the language of Kavod, other Rishonim speak the language of Simcha. Right? Those are also two different. They're similar, but they're a little bit different. And then, as we noted, the question is, if it's either Kavod or Simcha, whose Kavod and Simcha are we worried about in the context of Shaktu? Are we worried about her more than him, her to the exclusion of him, her and him equally, her predominantly, him a little less so. These are all the shittas that we already saw, right? The Ra, the Rajba, the Ramban, etc. Also the family come into all of this, right? The formulation of the Rimigash, is it personal or is it family? The nafkaminas will be, first of all, there are implications here, but the nafkaminas will also be, what if you have really Mechilas Shnehem or Mechilas HaMishpacha, and so on. Just also to get the Me'iri in here, like I told you to look at it, so the Me'iri has a language of Kvodan, B'tirtz HaShoktu Chachamal Tekonu Shavuos Yisrael, Shetarech B'suda Gimel Yom Ba'acha Echa B'Shabbos Seinu B'Shabbos Shlishi B'Shabbos, Immi Derech Kvodan, right, is what some Rishonim say, Simcha, he uses Kavod. In Mitzad, She Tarech Mitzuda, Kadesh Shalid Nakel, Be'inav, and was brought to my attention yesterday, just that the language is very sharp. Laharos Habinyan, Ulahotzi Allah Shemra, Kadesh Shalid Yafsid Ba, Shatarech Mitzuda. Yeah. Umitokach, Amr Begamara, Kol She'ena Tam, Hashkam Lebezdin, Kagom Makum Shebezdin Kvuin, and so on. There, of course, you have the possibility of Tariyah. Then it says, "V'kosvu ga'onei arishonim shemachas hatana kana shaktu nitkana." Right? Im lo rotza litroach b'seuda shel rotza lichnos below seuda. If she wants, yicholahi lachufo b'kach v'lasos otzos achupa l'pi kavod shnehem. Again, if it's about kavod, who can force who? V'dolei adar kosvu shem amrahi yefshi v'takanas chachamim lahotzi mamoni. That's of course the reason that the third reason that the Rajba gave Kvias. Yom Chamishul Amanullah Huskatan B'Mishasenu, and so on. So that's again the final issue, and that is what the relationship is between the two Shaktus. They sound linguistically similar. Some Rishonim really put them together. You could theoretically make a point that the Shaktu of the Almana is even more prominent than the Shaktu of the Basula, in the sense that the Shaktu of the Almana is in the Mishnah, and according to some readings of the this whole topic, Shaktu of Basula is really not in the Mishnah. On the other hand, there's languages in Rishonim and also logic dictates that either the Shaktus are identical or that maybe the Shaktu of Basula is a more prominent factor in consideration, given that the level of Simcha for Basula is higher, the Zayin Yamim, as opposed to either Aleph Gimel or Gimel Zayin, which we'll get to when we get to Daf Ches, right? How many days of Simcha and how many days of Mishta or Suda? Either way, these are some of the things that we saw here. One of the additional interesting things about Shaktu, in addition to those that we already just mentioned, is the urgency to kind of move quickly to Nisuin, and not to delay the Nisuin. Something which you saw explicitly in the Shidduch of Atzas and in the Ran al Arif. And the question is, what's that all about, as we discussed the other day? Once Erison has taken place, it seems like there's a clock, that goes off. And that leads into our next topic, Higiyah Zman V'lo Nisu, the clock begins to tick. And what is that really all about? So even in the context of the discussions of Shaktu, namely this idea that you need to justify a delay, when the parties are ready to enter into the Nisuin, as if something is being lost by not moving quickly, is something which could be about period of Arivia, or it could be it's about the Ishus itself, and especially the idea that Erisin really should have produced an immediate full ishus. It doesn't for various reasons, for takshitin, for parnasa, for also to make the point maybe that erusin and nisuin are separate, the reasons that we discussed in explaining shitas Rambam. But the fact is that nonetheless there is still this notion, like the Ritva's notion, You know, that really we're being matir isha labala, you know, be'erusin al yedei achupa. And therefore we don't want to delay more than possible. In other words, I'm suggesting that the problem of delay or the urgency to move forward isn't just period of arrivia, it's also the process itself that we've been studying, namely this process of erusin, you know, which is supposed to lead to nisuin. The same way that we spoke about, you know, the tashbetz's issue, which is, let's say a person were to be ma'ares almanas shalo lekonsa. So what I would suggest, he was using this against, the Rambam. What I was suggesting was that even the Rambam will say that that's, you know, absolutely unacceptable. So the idea that there's a certain urgency to move from one stage to the other is something, again, that appears to be reflected in the Shoktu Sugya by some of the Mekorot. So now I want to move to the next stage, which is Higiyazman Velonisu itself. Let's try to analyze that. So, So let's, Shlomo, you want to just run through the Gemara for us very quickly again. Just the, what's the Higiyazman? I just want to go through the different Gemaras of Higiyazman, and this is what we want to try to pin down. What is the din of Higiyazman Velonisu, Ochos Mishalov, Ochlos Petrum? Is that, as I mentioned in the end of last year, is that mostly some peripheral halakha? It can be a peripheral halakha in two ways, right? It could be just a knas. Even that would require some definition. What do we mean by a knas? But that's the way to completely isolate it most acutely is to say it's a knas. Okay, by a knas I mean, in other words, he should not be delaying. You know, she relies on him after that year is up. She's entitled, you know, to support. He should not be dawdling or delaying, you know, unnecessarily. Okay. So if it's a knas, then it doesn't say anything, you know, inspirational about, you know, the process of erusin and nisuin, the nature of ishus and erusin and nisuin. Doesn't say anything about mizonos. Probably doesn't say much about truma or nadarim either, although we'd have to explain how those things which seem to be more, how the things that seem to be more Iser oriented, like Truma and Nadarim, like how could they possibly be affected by a knas? Okay. But the basic idea will just be that this is something that belongs in, you know, not so much Hilchos Ishus, or Hilchos Ishus on the pragmatic side, but it's like any other situation where A has a certain implicit reliance on B, and, you know, B is behaving cavalierly and irresponsibly, and, you know, we want to make takanos to correct that. Okay. So if we're dealing with a kind of a knas, then it's still important to know how this works. It also may be important to tell us about some internal relationships in particular, because if I want to penalize him, then presumably everything should be very one-sided, by which I mean she should be getting all the benefits of Higiyazman below Nissen, right? If there are going to be a balance of rights, in other words, if the clock is going to tick, you know, also in his favor, as we'll discuss, right? If there are going to be some things that he gains, you know, in the process, that's going to be peculiar if this is based on a knas, right? Because it's all to give him incentive or to punish him for his improper, his improper attention to what should be happening. Unless you say that there are certain internal relationships with which, you know, willy-nilly, you know, get triggered, you know, in the process. Now, as the Mechayiv, the reason that we have the Higiyazman Velo Nisu is a knas. But once you trigger mizonos, other things just trigger automatically. That will be important to know on the relationship between mizonos and other things, right? But, you know, again, in terms of the bigger picture that we're interested in, you know, we'll have to understand that that's what is going on. In the middle, let's say, we might say this isn't a knas, but it is a chiyuv mamon, you know, in a kind of a takana. You can call it an implicit tnai. When I, give her erusin, so implicitly, given the understanding that it's going to take a year for takshitin and so on and so forth, so the expectation is, you know, that we won't delay longer than that. So it's not so much that we're punishing him, as much as is an implicit eschaivus at that point, a tnai, a chiyuv, drabanan of some sort, etc. But like the first, unlike the first perspective, the perspective of Knas, right, we're not necessarily going to expect that this is going to be one-sided, nor are we going to be looking for blame, in other words, circumstances which justify punishing him. It could be that the circumstances are just objectively neutral, but the fact is that whatever implicit eschaibus or chiyuv or tanai there is, still gets triggered by the calendar dates. You know, certain things, especially today, you set it up with the computer, it just it starts happening, right? So no blame, no fault necessarily. In that sense, we're going to take a very different perspective than the first pshat. But like the first pshat, if this is a tnai or a chiyuv, it's still not about ishus. And we would still expect that this would be very artificial, right? And very technical, as we'll explain. We still, are raising eyebrows about truma, certainly about, things like, if it does apply, Yerusha, Nedarim, right? Anything that smacks of a Doraisa is going to be strange because presumably Doraisa doesn't get triggered, even Midrabanan, Doraisa categories usually shouldn't get triggered by a Tanai or a Chiyuv Mam. Okay, so that's why it shares some with the first and others. The big prize, I don't mind saying, the ambition here is if we can establish that it's not a knas and it's not just a chiyuv mammon, an understandable chiyuv mammon. I should add, if it is a chiyuv mammon, the other thing that we gain, because it's blame neutral, of course, is you don't need conditions of blame, presumably, but also we wouldn't be disturbed by this being reciprocal. In other words, we wouldn't expect that it would be one-sided. Okay. The third option, the big payoff, as I say, is the idea that we're dealing here with some sort of a yom hanisuin, quote-unquote, with some sense that she is nisua legabe these things, in which case, the idea that this might trigger even isurim-type issues in ishus would be a lot more palatable. Of course, it's a much, much bigger chiddush, but also much more exciting chiddush. It would also presumably reflect on what we were talking about before, which is the idea that, if Eirusin were legamri lechud and nisuin legamri lechud, so, how does a calendar date, trigger anything? But if already from the time of Eirusin she's omedes lenisuin, right, and we see the dine nisuin as a kind of a delay and a removal of an obstacle, if it's more of a matir, right, and a hashlama, gomer, and an artificial one at that, then the idea, two things would emerge. Number one, the idea that, there's a ticking clock from Eirusin, and at some point we don't want to wait any longer, for certain dinim at least, that would make sense. The idea that Nisuin is a kind of a dover de bimela, which could even be triggered by a date, from the Eirusin, would emerge. The idea that, this is that Nisuin and Chalos Nisuin is very effect-oriented, namely it's about like certain understanding that they or people have, that a new shlav, a new stage has been entered into, all of these things would be reinforced by this view. Now, if we could find Doraisa Dinim, that would be the biggest prize of all, right? If somehow, there were Dine Doraisa that came from Higi Azman. Even if we don't, the fact that we would find formulations of Rishonim and or Dinim, right, that highlight some sort of Nesua, that would be extremely important and significant. Of course, that too would presumably affect not only the first of all the scope of things. In other words, is this a piecemeal thing about mezonos? Is it only about mezonos and truma? Is it only about mezonos and truma and nedarim, or does it carry other things with it and even reciprocal things? That's the one thing that we would be looking for. And number two is the conditions that, do or don't trigger it, things like Ones and Pirsanida and so on, you know, how are you going to look at them? Because if you take the first two perspectives, namely this is all about Knas, or it's all about an implicit Chiyuv or Tanai, right? So then, you know, the Knas part seems fairly, you know, straightforward, right? Let's try to figure out whose fault this is. Is it his fault? Again, in the nuances sometimes of application, there might be some chidushim of what's considered to be his fault, but that's what we're looking for, right? But if we're talking about implicit tnai, let's say, or a chiyuv, so then we actually get to plug it in. Maybe this is a reason to go in this direction. We get to plug it into the very next sugya. Aaron, what's the next sugya? The one that we haven't done yet. The chain l'inyan gittin, or not, v'eno chain l'inyan gittin. What's that about? What's that topic? Did you get a chance to look at it, or just the what that line means? No? Gabi? Yeah, if you make a tanai, again, we haven't done it yet, so we're going to. So, but just to know what it is, if you make a tanai, right, and get hareat megureshesli imlo bossi mikan ad lamidyon. Okay, if I don't show up within 30 days, then it's a get. Let's say he went out to, he's not sure if he's coming back. He wants to, maybe for the best intentions, right? He wants to save her from being an aguna or from being, you know, a zakuka liyibum, whatever it is. Hareat megureshesli almanas imlo bossi mikan ad lamidyon. Right, so the Gemara's next Gemara is about what happens if he has a kiyum atnai ba'ones. We'll also discuss what happens with the bitul b'tanai ba'ones. There are a lot of interesting things there. Okay, but the point is that let's say take it straightforward: kiyum tanai ba'ones beget. Now, that's not about nisuin, obviously. What is it about? We'll get to it. But the point is that, at least partially, what is it about? Whether or not kiyum tanai ba'ones, shma kiyum atanai. Either on a das level or on an objective maisa level. Is a maisa ba'ones considered to be a maisa? We'll discuss all that when we get to that gemara, which hopefully will be quite soon. So it's interesting that, now, you know, I might say, well, you know, this is a, how much of a connection is there between the two sugyas? You know, the one that we're just going to review, recap in just a second, but we've already read, meaning the question of ones in igiyas man velo nisu, and the question of ones in making a tanai beget. When the Gemara says, right, this word, amarava uli inyan get eino chein, right, how loose a connection is it? So if you take the view that higiyas man velo nisu, let's take these three perspectives. We're going to flesh them out. Let's say it's about a knas, right? So then the idea that you're comparing a knas and a tanai, ones b'tanai is the second topic. This topic is knas b'ones. Ones b'knas and ones b'tanai. Would you think logically, Avram, you think logically they're the same thing or not?
No.
You sound like you're hesitant. I expected what? No, I'm saying in general, forget about the sugya for the moment. I just said to you, I woke you up in the middle of the night, right? This is what I do to people. And, I don't really, but right? And I said to you, what do you think? There's a knas, right, that's usually triggered by a certain, you know, phenomenon, and this phenomenon took place, which usually triggers the kabbat, took place ba'onis. That's one case. And the other case is the guy made a tanai, you know, and the kiyuma tanai did take place, which normally triggers the maisa, but it took place ba'onis. Same thing or not?
I would think not.
You would think not. You would think that whatever you're going to say, when you think it's an open question by kiyum atanai ba'ones, which we're going to discuss, right? That's an interesting question. Was it implicit in his das? Is it considered to be objectively a maisa? Those are the issues which we're going to discuss then. I gave it all away, right? But we don't mind. But when it comes to knas, presumably, what's important in knas? Blame. Culpability. Right? The ability to, you don't punish somebody for things that are out of his control. How you define in your control might be an open issue a little bit, but I say a little bit. Mostly, we have a good intuition, when somebody deserves blame and when somebody does not. Right? So onus in a blame context is mostly going to be nothing. Not going to be, there's no blame in onus. Maybe tchiloso b'pshia v'sofa b'ones. We'll discuss that here too. But that's because we're focusing on the tchiloso b'pshia, which maybe completely eliminates the status of onus in the continuation, or even if it does exist, it colors it, or we go back to the, we punish you for the pshia part. Right, that's a different story. Those are nuances already. But kiyum atnai b'ones, that's a very 50-50 kind of proposition. We could debate that long and hard, right? Maybe it depends on the nature of tanai, or implicit das, on the nature of onus, and those are the things that we will, maybe the difference between kiyum atanai and bitul atanai, or kumvase and sheval tasa, or a tanai in ishus, or a tanai in mamon. A lot of interesting things to talk about. But, if we take the view, so that's number one. If we take the view that higiyas man velo nisu is not about knas, and it's not about an implicit extraneous chiyuv either a tanai or a chiyuv, but it's about yoma nesuin. It's about a form of chuppah or nesuin, right? So now the question is, do you have that ba'ones or not? So is that the same as kiyum atanai ba'ones? V'chein linyan gittin or amarava v'eino chein linyan gittin? Well, it is. There may be parallels, because in both cases you're certainly going to try to figure out what is the legal status of onus. Is it a maisa? Is it not? Did it happen? It didn't. Onus is command avid. Onus is command lo avid. Right? So there's overlap in those questions. I would say more so than if we're talking about blame. There's no blame in onus per se. Right? But the hagdara of onus and various things is open to question. You do an aveira ba'ones, you do a mitzvah ba'ones, right? Onus rachamana patrei, what is that all about? We'll talk about it. But it's still two different issues, because while the onus part is the same, who says that either the implicit das or the mechanics of tnai are identical with the hagdara of yom ha'nisuin, or the ticking clock that began at Erison. Not necessarily at all. Maybe parallel, maybe not. Right? So, in addition to the question of the scope, you're going to expect the scope to be greater if this is a Nesu'in halacha. You're also going to expect greater reciprocity, which is part of the scope issue. And you're also going to consider the possibility of doraisas, or at least isurim-oriented aspects of the ishus, coming into play. It's also presumably going to affect how you look at the question of onus. Okay, so that part I'm going to leave, the lishonos on that, I'm probably going to leave to afterwards, but let's just go through the shakavatari very quickly. Who did I ask? Shlomo, go ahead. Yeah, so just go through not the shaktu parts, because the Gemara says enough. And one other issue, as I mentioned before, is the Gemara says Amar Belzer Rabbi Amar Shmuel Mipnei Mam Reb Sula Nisus Liomar Bi Lefisha Shanino Egiyas Mam Velo Nisu Okus Shalakus Betruma. Right. So again, I mentioned already Tosus's comment. Tosus says, "What do you mean Mipnei Ma Omru? It's really Lemay Naf Gemina. It's a bad, clumsy, inaccurate formulation." Not my words, Tosus's words, but I'm uncomfortable with that because the Gemara doesn't give bad, inaccurate formulations, right? So, I mean, who am I to argue with the Bali Tosis? But here I'm trying to defend, the Bali HaGemara. Okay. So we would like to find a way where even that first formulation, just like I wanted to find a way, I'm Lishitasi, when the Gemara said in Daf Yudam Aleph about Ksuva, Knasu, and then the Gemara said, what are you talking about? It's not a Knas, it's a Takana. Right? I thought it was very important to explain why the Gemara thought it was a knas. And I thought that was a pivotal perspective, even though it's rejected. Here too, what did the Gemara mean when it thought that mipnei ma Amra Besula Nises Li Amar Vi, right, Lefisha Shaninu Agiyazman. So again, if we're talking about a knas, or even an implicit eskaivus, or a tnai, then what Tosus is saying is 1,000% correct. Right? Because that isn't the reason for having a wedding day, it's the result of having a wedding day. But if we take the view, that the third view, which is that Higiyas Mablo Niso says something about the Ishus and the Chuppah and the ticking clock, and at least not necessarily all those things, but about some of those things. That's the perspective that we're taking. This is an Ishus Halacha. So then, not bad at all, especially in light of the other things we've been saying, which is that maybe there's a Hagdara called Yom HaNisuin, with quotation marks around it, meaning a Chalos of Yom HaNisuin. You pick a date, a wedding day, that's a Kiyum in the Ishus. Whether it's because of Shaktu, or it's because that's the day that's going to eliminate any potentially corrosive suspicions, right? But not for peripheral reasons. We want to pick a wedding day, just like Bracha. Okay, Bracha doesn't make you an Avaryanim, but just like Bracha is a Kiyum, right? So too Shaktu is a Kiyum. So too Tainus Besulim is a Kiyum. And maybe that all actually works in very nicely with, you know, having that check mark, you know, a year from now on the calendar, hearing the clock ticking, right, and being very aggressive, you know, and very rigorous about making sure that it really happens on that day. That's part of the din of Yom HaNisuin. Just like the day of the week is a din of Yom HaNisuin, and the year day later is also din of Yom HaNisuin. Not just as a nafkamina. But there's a reason why we've done this. It isn't arbitrary. Okay, so now let's just look at the. I just want the Shaka Vatari quickly, just to get on the record, of Lefikach. Okay, the Gemara says, yeah. Before we get to that, so where does the Lefikach come from, Shlomo? Because the Gemara said, well, if it turns out on a Sunday, or some other day of the week, even though it's 365 or 350, what's the right number? Whatever it is, four. Yeah, I never know how that all works, but whatever the proper day, a year later in the calendar is, right? That's not going to trigger Higia. That's not going to trigger Higia's man because you're waiting for Takanas Bezdin, right? That's what the Gemara says. And then the Gemara says Lefikach, and again, what do we do with what does a Lefikach mean? What is a Lefikach, Rabbi? You have to characterize a Lefikach. Two words to characterize a Lefikach. This is really not fair. This is just me trumpeting my own language. But what's a lefikach? That's why I'm asking Robbie. I'd have to ask him better. Well, Jason. Well, though we know it's an important lashon, how do we characterize it? Lefikach is a drum roll, right? What I mean by that is, when you say lefikach, you built up to something. In other words, you can. It's like a crescendo. Right? I mean, if you say da 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 da, therefore lefikach, right? Okay. So what's a lefikach? Obviously, whenever you say lefikach, right? What I mean by being a crescendo or a drummer or a build-up is, meaning on the one hand you're confident with the leap that you're taking. Lefikach is a decisive language, right? But at the same time, this is true, by the way, in all languages. Meaning the equivalent of lefikach, right, in other languages too. It connotes at the same time a measure of confidence and decisiveness. I think this is true. And at the same time, an awareness that what you're about to say, right, is not obvious. You're making an important statement, but a statement that you're confident is truly correct. That's a lefikach. Which is different than a kolomar, right? Yeah, but not so different. Anyways, so the lefikach here is that the calendar isn't going to work if it's against takanas chazal, about the proper day of the week. But in light of everything that we're discussing, and I'm going to leave a little shonos here al atar for later because I want to make some headway. I want to try to finish this whole thing if we can by Sunday, on Sunday. So what does this drum roll really mean? Right? Does it mean lefikach? Just like we see that the inexorable, you know, date in the calendar isn't always koveya, and an exception is, you know, Yom Rishon, never mind Yom Shlishi or something like that. So if we're talking about guilt, knas, so then what we'd expect would follow would be, well, anytime there's no guilt, right, there's no mizonos. So then the paradigm, right, the fact that Takanas Chazal or Takanas Bezdin, right, is an example of this, just means any situation which is out of his control. If, on the other hand, we're talking about an implicit Tanai or a Chiyuv, something like that, something in between, right? So then what is Takanas Bezdin? Maybe it's a way of saying Onus. It's not a way of saying he's not to blame, it's a way of saying, and then you have to figure out, are all onuses equal? If, on the other hand, here's where it gets better, we take the last view, namely it's about Yom HaNisuin, so then it's going to be much, much trickier. Because the idea that if a Chachamim say, listen, Yom, right, Rishon is not Yom HaNisuin, Yom Sheni is not Yom HaNisuin, Yom Shlishi is not Yom HaNisuin, Yom Revi is Yom HaNisuin, and therefore, Higiyaz Ma'amalo Nisu, which is a din in Yom HaNisuin, or Nisua, Nisua Ktas, whatever you want to call it, Knusa Ktas, whatever it is, that depends on Chazal's definition. But then the Lefikach, right, is going to be much, much more problematic, because we all understand that, you know, if the Chachamim, you know, don't think for Tainus Psulim or Shakta or a combination thereof, that the other days of the week, even if you reach the, you know, the year point, are not Yom HaNisuin, that isn't necessarily exactly the same thing if you're talking about some other, it's not a din in Onus, it's a din in Yom HaNisuin. So is every Onus also not Yom HaNisuin? That's already a bit of a stretch. And here the idea that there could be different types of Onus, right, maybe the difference between, you know, Choli, particularly, and Nida, really emerges. Because what I might say is, Pirsa Nida, that's really an Ishus problem. Bishlomo, especially according to the Rambam, right, whose Shita we already know, that Chuppah's Yichud Aroi Labia, and you can't even have a Chuppah, the Nida. So, Tuesday is not a Yom HaNisuin, and Pirsa Nida is not a Yom HaNisuin. Right, but what about Choli? That's much more problematic. So what we need to do is figure out what this Hemshech HaGemara is. That's really what our job is. Go ahead. So let me just run through the cases quickly. The Fikach. Okay. By the way, I like the way you read that. It's good. Cholahu Shechal Sahi. Right. So the first thrust of the Gemara, without going to the Lashonos yet, is, you know, there's nothing unique about Takanas Bez and Hayom, right? What we really mean is any time he's not to blame or anything is out of his hands. Okay. Again, that can work according to all three Shitas. It's not difficult to explain that Higiyaz Man, which is a Chiddush, doesn't get triggered, right, when it's not his fault. Even if we're talking about Yom HaNisuin, so it's not Yom HaNisuin when it's not his fault. But certainly, if we were to take the view of blame, then we would particularly be embracing, right, this equation. Because it's certainly nothing unique about Takanas Bezin at all, then. It's all about culpability. Okay, go ahead. Ika Debai. The Ika Debai Lami
Baya.
Yeah, so here already we're getting, again we'll discuss the Lashonos afterwards, but we're getting more into it. Right now the Gemara's Mistapek, what about Cholohu? Right? On the one hand it's Onus, it's very hard to, if not impossible, to say that, you know, there's any kind of Knas here. That doesn't make sense. right? On the other hand, maybe the point isn't a din in knas. Maybe it's a din, let's go the other direction for the moment, in Yom HaNesuin. If it's a din of Yom HaNesuin, Odim HaHasam Onus B'takanta that the Kinu V'Rabbanan, meaning he can be honest all day long, but who cares? But the problem in Onus B'takanta that the Kinu V'Rabbanan is that it's not the Yom HaNesuin, which is the language that some of the Mefarshim use, as we'll document the language later. Or are we just trying to say, no, the middle Shita, meaning it's about Tanai or Chiyuv Drabanan. And the question is, different levels of Anus, an Anus of Chole, right? That's what the Gemara is trying to tell us. There are different levels of Anus. An Anus of Chole, it doesn't mean it's not the Yom HaNesuin, or it doesn't mean it's not, he doesn't have his Chiyuv. Anus is not poter you from your Tanai or your Chiyuv. But when the Chachamim don't tie your hands, that's a different story. That's Kamanda Lo Avad. It's as if the calendar day didn't come. Okay? Keep going. Imtim Salomar. Yeah. So again, on the level of culpability, it's ridiculous. Nistap Chasadeo doesn't mean that. The question is, what does Nistap Chasadeo mean? So what are the options here? And I want to talk about that separately also afterwards in some of the Lashonos. Look at the Tosa Rush here also, and of course the Ramban, and all the Chachmei Sfarad took one view, and the Bali Tosis a different view. And also it has certain, I guess, philosophical and ideological implications. Okay. What do I mean by that, Shlomo? And what are the two ways, generally speaking? We'll pin it down more when we go forward. I just want to get the other things first. What does Nistap Chasadeo mean?
It literally means your field got flooded.
Your field got flooded. But here, she developed the flu.
Right.
So what does it mean? She says to him, I got the flu, your field got flooded. Huh? Right? So the Chachmei Sfarad approach is actually very straightforward and very non-mystical, which is, Patalo? Exactly. Couldn't have said it better. In fact, that's exactly what I was going to say. Tough luck. Meaning it's your problem. Not your cause. Not your bad karma in the, you know, for people who believe in karma. Meaning, you know, this problem is of your making. Meaning it's your problem to deal with. Tough luck. As long as I'm not to blame, you're a chayiv. That is the general view of the Chachmei Sfarad. They also didn't like this mazel idea, many of them. Yeah?
In general, doesn't that fit much better with greater Mishnayos that say, Yisak Sadeh Uvai, Mishra Stani Nasti?
By?
Mishra Stani Nasti, Yerubil and Yeshua.
I think so. It would be more challenging to interpret it the other way. Maybe we'll give a stab at it, but I hear it. So basically, the Ramban is saying, What the Stap Chasadeo may mean is, as long there's a chiyuv, it's on the books. The onus, right, is to get out of it. If she doesn't show up, she doesn't get mizonos. I mean, if she is responsible for the delay, then obviously he doesn't get we don't inflict upon him the consequences. That's simple fairness. But anything short of that, you know, it's true he's not culpable, but this chiyuv, this tanai, or this yom hanesuin, right, is still on the books. So anything short of her intentional, delay is his problem. That's the Chachmei Sfarad approach. What's the Bali Tosis approach, Shlomo? Mazalcha Gore. Now again, in Rashi, it's just not clear. We'll go back to this, but what does Rashi say? Klomar Mazalcha Goram, ki mehayom ani multelis alecha lazun. So I'm not sure 100% in Rashi whether he's saying what the Bali Tosis are saying or saying what the Ramban is saying. Meaning, tough luck, your bad luck, buddy. Not really, this is the problem of your making. This is the problem for you to deal with. the jig is up, as they say. You know, mizonos begin today, and you know it's not my fault, and therefore it's your achrayut, your responsibility. Is that what Rashi's saying, or is Rashi really saying, since right you have a responsibility, so al pidin it's your mazel, which is a nice combination between mazel, I guess, and halachic, what I call halachic reality, meaning it's because it's your chiyuv that it's your mazel. Okay, and it's kind of balitosis. What did balitosis say? Shlomo? On the next page, right? It's just printed on the wrong page. He, right, Sada Shalabal, in a Baal Sada Shalom. Okay, so what, clearly the Balitosis are taking the Mazalchot, really the Mazalchot view. I'm not sure if that's what Rashi means, but what they're saying is, you know, you have to pay for this because it's not just your responsibility, but in the cosmic, you know, scheme of things, right? It's your blame, too. Not blame in the knas sense. Knas sense, this makes no sense. But in terms of being a chiyuv, it's your chiyuv, maybe the chiyuv is only if it's your fault. Or if it's attributed to you, let's say not your fault. Okay? Al-Pidin, this is on your ledger, not mine. How come? Because you're the one who's mechuyev of Piri Verivia. First of all, the association of Piri Verivia here is fascinating. Do we really mean because of a rush kind of approach that the whole ishus, or at least the chuppah part, is Piri Verivia driven? Right? Is that what we mean? Or Piri Verivia is an indication, like I was suggesting for the Rambam. Right? We'll see that Bia Rishona and Piri Verivia are ways of what I call Vidavak Biishto. They're kiyumim in the relationship. So the point is that we don't mean Piri Verivia, Piri Verivia. We mean that Piri Verivia is an indication that, you know, the intimate side of the Ishus, you know, it's on your ledger, not on my ledger. Either way, it's a halachic reality thing, meaning, okay, fine, he has the chiyuv Piri Verivia. You know, what does that have to do with Mazal Chagorim? Meaning, whose, you know, cosmic, you know, list this is on, or record this is on, is dictated by who the chiyuv is on. That's an inspirational part, I must say. The second thing also, the second day needs to be Ha'isha Yisada Shalabal in Abal Sada Shal. We'll speak more about it a little bit. Tosa Rush is a much more severe formulation about her being his Ebed and Behema, things of that sort we've talked about. Talk about that very briefly when we get back to this. But again, maybe all Tosis means is Kiyika Chishisha Kicha Kicha Mistei Afron. Right, you know, Nistapcha Sadehu, so the play on is, you know, Kicha Kicha Mistei Afron, meaning you're the Mekadesh, right? She's the Mekudeshes, and, you know, in this process, it's on your list, not on hers. Or maybe he means something more, maybe he really means to treat her more as a kind of a Cheftza, or at least in the Ran, in the Darim sense, you know, that in the process, you know, she is the passer, she's the makne, and maybe the davar hanikna, rather than the, you know, than the kone, or more, maybe even in the relationship. But the point is that Balitosis are struggling for ways to explain how it's mazalo velo mazala, whereas the Ramban will say, it's mazalo, it's mazala, it's, you know, ain mazal, you know, shall either. What we really mean is, like Bitzal said, tough luck, you're achrayut, it's about achrayut, it's not about, you know, assigning cosmic, you know, lists, basically. Okay, but this is very, very critical. It's an interesting question in general, right? On the mazal level, it's an interesting question, what dictates mazal, if there is mazal, namely the halakhic reality in which one, and what the role of Piri Verivia, the larger relationship where the Kiyika Chisha is in all of this. I think that all that is fascinating. But in terms of what we're interested in right now, it's also important, because what are we really saying in the end of the day? There's no blame to him, but if it's on his list, right, that's a dinin chiyuv, or at least that doesn't disrupt Yom HaNesuin. Okay, let's continue.
Ibn Salomar Amrale Nistatka Sadeu Pirsan Igamahu Vishaz Vasta Lotvailacha Dilo
the low. Why? So again, pirsa nida b'shas vesta, you might say, is something that is anticipatable. We'll see the Lashonis and Rishonim later, but now, it's in addition to the fact that it's not his fault, obviously, but it's something that, you know, it's shas vesta. So if they had just, you know, calculated, you know, correctly, they would have seen that a year ago when they put the check on that day, that, you know, it wasn't a good day for various reasons. The fact that it was predictable in advance might be a reason, even if you take the view, again, the most powerful reason to move forward. In other words, that it's not, you know, his blame is clear. What its status is as a kind of an onus, which is command ovid or lo ovid, and so on, in terms of the iskaibus and the tanai. Maybe we're saying, well, this isn't really such an onus. It's predictable, so that we don't call that onus. Or do we? Maybe it's more of an onus, even. But I think the real advantage in Pirsa Nida, in the case of Shas Vesta, is for Yom HaNesu'in. If the idea is, well, this is the Yom HaNesu'in, and as long as it's not anything short of being mafkia, shame, Yom HaNesu'in is not going to help you. You're going to be chayiv mezonos because she's a nesua or a knusa le'inyan dvarim elu. Okay. So, takanas bezdin, that we understand. Because that's a din in the Yom HaNesu'in too. Pirsa nida, right? Bishas vesta is also that way in the sense that it's a tos. We thought it was the Yom HaNesu'in, but we should have known if we'd just been more careful then, we would have known it wasn't the Yom HaNesu'in. We'll see the Lashonis and Rishonim have this. Okay, Lo Shema Yom HaNesu'in. Okay, good. What if we say, but what about Shalom B'Shas Vesta? Go ahead. Ki Diboy Lach Shalom B'Shas Vesta Mai. Yeah. So this part, the last line, Kimadikip Nashi to come Shani Vestayu Kishas Vesta Dami, again is also to say, well, it turns out Lamafreya that it's a Yom Tos. Right? Or a different kind of an onus. Something which we might have known would have happened, not completely beyond. That she should be chole. That's a new kumba, a new reality. You know, that the vesas comes, and even Shalobashas Vesta, that the status of Nida comes, that's something which we always knew we'd have to contend with one way or another. And therefore it's more of an onus, right? It's a predictable onus in that sense, or it's a tos in Yom HaNesu'in. But I think another way to look at it, but it doesn't read so well in the Gemara, is to say what I said for the Rambam, but not only for the Rambam. Namely, if you take the view, chuppah, hainu, you know, yichud aroy labia, what you might say is, forget about shas vesas or lo shalom b'shas vesas. You just can't, by definition, that can never be nesua or yom HaNesu'in. What you have to add here is, even with respect to the non-direct ishus-oriented issues, let's say giyazman is more about the financial part of nesua. That would also depend on what the Rambam really means about chuppah being, right? Yichud aroy labia. That's our next topic. Okay, so this is a question. Okay, then the Gemara points out that you can't prove it one way or another. Go ahead. Lo nasu lo ketani. In he. Right, that's clear. If she's the ma'akev, she's not going to get rewarded, right? Or we're not going to consider that to be nesua, right? Oh, meaning it does trigger, even though it's onus. Amravashi. Now again, why? That could be for all three reasons. Okay, but go ahead. I mean, the only time that really he has to end up triggering the mezonos if it's he's the ma'akev. Okay. So I'm just trying to show, and I'll go back to the Lashonis and the Rishonim afterwards, that even in the Shakla Vatari and the Gemara about the status of the unique or the singular status of, you know, Takanas Bezdin, A, the debate about, you know, shiny pirsa nida, and whether it depends on shas veset or lo shas veset, and the discussion of the stapcha sadeu, whether it means tough luck or it means your bad karma, not mine, already we have kind of the, you know, the beginnings of this discussion. What triggers Igiyas Mavlo Nisa? Knas, a chiyuv / tnai, or the inexorable, you know, pressure of completing the Eirusin, you know, tchilas hanisu. Okay. Before we move on, so just to get two things in under the record. So and that is the dinim themselves. We have the Gemara here is quoting the Mishnah, which we'll discuss in just a minute. Right, the Mishnah later on in Afalpi, which says Igiyas Man Velo Nisu. Right, where does how does it go again? Chaim. Two consequences that are mentioned. Right, Ochos Mishalo, which means what? Mizonos, and the other one, Ochos Bitrum. So those are the ones that are debated. First of all, it should be noted, as we'll see in a second, that there's a machlokas about that. What's a machlokas? Or machlokas between who and who? Yeah, Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona, right, or Bezin Shalach Arehem, whether this is true. Is it, what's the debate about? About Trumos. It seems that Mizonos, everybody agrees, right? So it would appear. Certainly Tosas Rid argues that that's the case, and it seems to be the case. Okay. So the first thing that what we don't know is the scope of this halacha. What about Yerusha? What about Nedarim? What about Maisi Adayim, Kvura, and so on, right? We don't know what about those things, and clearly, you know, for fundamental or technical reasons, those are going to be consequential to our analysis. Now, one thing we do know about, we know about Mizonos, we know about Truma, we're going to discuss that in just a second, and what else do we know a little bit more about, Chaim? What other factor do we know about? We know about Mizonos, Truma, like you just said. Nadar. What do we know about Nadarim? Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in the Mishnah Nadarim, Adaf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, and we're going to read that hopefully in just a couple of minutes. The Gemara initially, a Rabbah in that Gemara, Chaim says what? Rabbah in that Gemara links the Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, with Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona. We'll read it inside in a couple of minutes. And and Abaya in that Gemara tries to splinter them from each other. Says, no, Rabbi Lazar could agree with Mishnah Achrona, and the Chachamim could agree with Mishnah Rishona. Instead of what Rabbah says, which is Rabbi Lazar is Mishnah Rishona, the Chachamim is Mishnah Achrona, right? That maybe they're disconnected. Okay, so we want to analyze all of those things. But even just here, before we move away from Rashi and the Gemara for a second, so let's talk about Mizonos for a minute and Truma. Right, the two consequential issues. So, what do you think, Chaim? What do you think about Mizonos and Truma in this issue? What are your thoughts on the matter? In general terms, you're thinking like, oh, you have this interesting halacha, a calendar date triggers some dinim that we normally associate with the suin. We're trying to figure out whether this is real or it's some sort of extraneous knas or tanai or, you know, something more innocuous, right? And clearly there's a debate about, you know, Mizonos and Truma. Oh, it seems not to be a debate about Mizonos. There's a debate about Truma. There's a debate about Nadarim, etc. So what are your first thoughts? What are your thoughts about that? Right. On the surface, our first reaction is that Mizonos is dine mominus. It's more of a pragmatic kind of a thing. A, she expects it. B, it's dine mominus. So Mizonos would seem to be a more innocuous, you know, it would fit in better with the knas part or even the tanai part. Right? It doesn't necessarily mean nesua. However, since we did, you know, Hagdama number two, I guess, spend some time on Sher, Ksus, Viona. And one of the things we tried to explain was that there's a big machlokas, possibly, Tanoim and Amoraim, and then later, you know, Rishonim and Achronim, about how to look at She'er Mizonos. Right? Is Mizonos just about Dinei Mamonos? Right? Or is Mizonos a way, again, like Suva, of using money, using finances, to establish, right, security and a certain kind of relationship in Ishus? So while there's also a question of whether it's Doraisa Drabana, right, or the Halacha, both in the Tanaim, Amoraim, and the Rishonim, and how to Paskin. So, even though Mizonos seems quite innocuous, maybe Mizonos is significant too, both as a reflection and as a cause. It should connect to that issue. Correct? Kaim? Okay. But part of the thing then we would also want to know would be, are the Mizonos of Higia Zman Velo Nisu identical with the Mizonos of post-Chuppah? Right? In other words, let's say we were to conclude that the Mizonos, of which are triggered Doraisa by Chuppah, or Drabanan by Chuppah, whatever, really are Ishus, or they're Dinan Nesua, not just a extraneous Chi of Mamon. Let's say we were to conclude that. Right? So that would make us think that Igiyas Mam Velo Nisu, Ochlos, Mishalo, is a more fundamental Din. But there's still a leap. And that is, are the Mizonos of Igi Azman identical with the Mizonos of post-Nisuin? Okay? So that is an issue which is interesting to look at this Rashi. Look at Rashi here. Where would you look for that? Number one, the Rashi here, which I'll discuss in just a second. But what else? Where else does that come up? Well, it comes up in the Avnei Miluim, but you know, way before it came up in the Avnei Miluim, it came up with Eliyahu? The Tosfos Rid? I'm not sure what. Okay, I mean, the Tosfos Rid said that Mizonos everybody agrees to, but the switch sugya, which the Avnei Miluim is discussing, the what? The Rashi and Tosfos on Daf Ayin, Omid Aleph, and especially Ayin Omid Beis, in Amadir, which we'll get to in a second. But before we get to that, I just wanted to point out the Rashi here. What does Rashi say here? He gives Mambalo Nisu, Lekamam Perak Afalpi Tanan. That's the wrong Rashi. Okay, sorry. Oh. Ochos Mishalo. What does Rashi say? Shabal Chaya bin Mizonos Ishto Mitakonas Bezdin, Kid Lekamam Perak Naira. A significant Rashi or not? Aminadav? Something worth bringing up and noting, or just a waste of time? The Rashi here on Beis Amid Aleph.
He says Ishta.
Right, okay, but Shabal Chai B'Mizonos, okay. Ishto Mitakonas Bezdin. Kid Lekamon Perek Naira.
So,
what's in Perek Naira? Yakir? Is that in Perek Naira they speak about Igiyas Mambalo Nisu?
No, it's just general.
Exactly. Rashi here is saying the Mizonos of Igi, or seems to be saying that the Mizonos of Igi Azman is the Mizonos of post Ishto's good also, right? But especially what he's quoting is the Gemara in El Naira, what's it called? Perek Naira, right? Which discusses Sherek Susviona. Because you could have said, these are two different dinim, as we'll see in a minute. Now, what's also interesting is that Rashi here says that the chiyuv, Shua, is mitakonas bezin. Why is that interesting? Rashi al Torah thinks that she'er is doraisa. Correct? Now, Rashi doesn't deny that there's a machlokas in the Gemara, but it's interesting that Rashi would just go a little bit out on a limb here and emphasize this point. Right? So is it possible? I have no idea. I'm speculating. But is it possible that what Rashi's saying here, you know, that one point of Rashi is connected to the second point of Rashi? In other words, he didn't have to say, Igi Azman Velo Nisu, that the chiyuv mizonos, you don't have to invoke necessarily post chuppah, right? If you are, you're kind of making a statement. You're saying it's the mizonos that she should be getting, she's getting now, right? Assuming you meet it more than on a pragmatic level, like she was anticipating, she was waiting, she's out on a limb, she needs to be supported, you know, so it has to start now. Maybe that's all it means, that it's innocuous. But if it means more than that, which is the mizonos of post-chuppah begin now, because Igi Azman is also a din in the suah, the miktsas at least, so then you have to ask yourselves, really? That's really what's going on in Igi Azman v'lo nisu? Right? So then what you might want to say is, well, don't get too excited. Because if the chiyuv of she'er is doraisa, mizonos doraisa, she'er is doraisa, of course is what she'er means. If mizonos is doraisa, then to say that the pre-chuppah, higi azman variety, and the post-chuppah are the same, basically, is a chiddush. I don't mean whether the pre is doraisa. Let's assume the pre was rabbanan. Even if the pre is Drabbanan and the post is Doraisa, to say that the quality or what we're trying to accomplish is the same, especially if we think it's a kiyum in the Ishus and not just a financial obligation, is a big statement. If you want to think that maybe the din of Igi Azman Belo Nisu, right, only applies, right, because anyways Mizonos is only a chiyuv Drabbanan, so then to say, you know what, that chiyuv Drabbanan comes earlier, then you're being much less ambitious, right, about Higi Azman. Anyways, so this gets played out a little bit. Let me mention the other Rashi first here, and then I'll explain, we'll get back to the Mizonos part. What's the other issue? Trumos. Right, so there too, there are two ways to initially assess it. What do I mean by that? Gabi? Two ways to initially assess Trumos too. On the one hand, the first time we hear it, I mean, the first time you heard that Igi Azman v'lo nisu could trigger truma. What? Yeah, it sounds like an Idin d'oraisa. Wow, I mean, it can do that. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about not money, right, but the Iser Zar. We're talking about an Iser category, right? So on the surface, Igi Azman v'lo nisu that affects trumos is something that is a serious shame nisua, or yom anisuin that affects dine nisua. Correct? On the other hand, once we become a little more, once we calm down a little bit, or gain a little more knowledge, or some combination of both, what do we then think, maybe?
We realize from Lula that it's already from the time of the Kedushin.
We realize that Minatora, Arusa is Ochelas Betruma, because she's already considered to be Kinyan Kaspa. And then the question then becomes, okay, so in light of that, is this completely nothing, right? Actually, it turns out maybe it's even less significant than Mizonos. Because Mizonos, at least the Daraisachi of Mizonos of Shertzis, really depends on Chuppah. Here we could just say, you know, Ukmua a Daraisa. But the question is not so simple. Because the question is also, how do you assess the Dindrabanan that only in the Sua eats Truma? If we look at it all the time as saying, you know what, she eats truma b'tora sarusa, we just have to neutralize the dindarabanan which normally delays that. And what is that dindarabanan? Eliyahu? What's the dindarabanan that delays the arusa from eating truma? Tilchopa? Adam? Machlokes? Either what or what? Shematashka, which means maybe she's living in her father's house, she's not going to keep the truma to herself, right? So it's a mikshal. Or simpo, what's simpon? Maybe it'll turn out that we're going to be okay the whole kiddush l'mafreya because she has mumim and the whole ishus is wrong, and meanwhile she's been eating truma as a zar. We don't want to take that chance. Okay, so those are the explanations that are given in the Gemara. So what you might say is, you know what, the din. And this, by the way, this is important for even outside of Igi Azman v'lo nisu. The din that she eats truma, right, only after chuppah, which is a din d'rabbanan, right, How do we look at that? Do we say midrabanan? It's hard and it's a hardcore thing that Arusa doesn't eat, and therefore they put it under the rubric of, you know, she'ero zuishto, right? Baal ki ishto. Only when she becomes midrabanan, only when she's an actual nesua. It's a dini nesua. In other words, the drabanans are part of the history of understanding, you know, what this all is all about, but they're basically irrelevant. In the end of the day, nesua, ocheles, betruma, is a din, midrabanan, of nesua. In which case, the only relevance of simpon and shematashke in igiyaz mamalo nisu would be, well, you know, if that was a reason that torpedoed arusa daraisa, maybe it should still apply to Igiyaz Man Doraisa. I'm sorry, to Igiyaz Man, even if Igiyaz Man has the effect of Nesua or Yoma Nesuin to make her the equivalent of Chuppah in the Davar Zeh. So we have to bring up these Drabanans and we have to speak about them only because, right, not because they're the Yisod of Igiyaz Man Ochos Betruma, but because they could torpedo Igiyaz Man, right, Ochos Betruma, if we're not careful. But really, really, midrabanan, right? We're still holding to the idea that truma is a din in nesua, and therefore if it applies to igiyazman, that's very impressive. Or, not at all. The din of aruso chelis betruma because she's kinyan kaspo was never neutralized by the rabbanan. Just lemaisa, the rabbanan said, no way. Either because of simpon or because of shematashke. But even though halacha, in most cases, she's only going to eat truma when she's a nesua, it never was a din in nesua, just that once she's a nesua, those reasons which were ma'akev hers and arusa don't apply anymore. She always eats b'toras arusa. So then, if we say giyazman v'lo nisu, if there aren't the reasons of simpon and whatever, that's the reason she's eating. She's not eating b'toras giyazman, she's eating now b'toras arusa. Just that the giyazman have neutralized the problems. So if you look at the Gemara later on, right, the Gemara on Nun Zayin Amud Beis does introduce and even suggests at one point that maybe the machlokas between Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona is a machlokas whether it's Shematashke or Simpon. Right, look at the Gemara here. Adam, just very quickly. On the bottom of the Mishnah's on Nun Zayin, as we discussed, we'll discuss more of it. Then on the bottom of Nun Zayin of the base, Amar Ula Dvar Torah.
Amar Ula Dvar Torah Arusa Bas Yisrael Ochelas Betruma Shneimar Bekohen Ki Yikne Nefesh Kinyan Kaspo Dehainami Kinyan Kaspo Matam Amru Eino Ochelas Shema Yim Zigula Kos Bebeis Abiyah Vekashi Lachiyah Valachosa.
Period. That's Rekha. That's the background. Okay. Now already, once you see that background, you're, you know, like Gabi, you know, saw that background, you say, oh, you know, we may have lost an amazing indication that Higiyaz Man, right, is of elevated significance, right? Isn't that what you were thinking? But, you know, Gabi being an optimist is also thinking, well, let's wait and see. Maybe there's ways to understand this Gemara in more than one way, right? So that's why the next line becomes very important. Ihachi. So now the that's a question. Right? The answer is Hasam Duchta Miachedla. Right? That's the answer. Meaning if it's Igiyaz Man, she's no longer living at home. Okay. So the question is how to read this question, how to read this answer. So one way to read the answer, the question is the whole Yesod of Igiyaz Man can only be b'toras arusa if you've neutralized. It can only be b'toras arusa, and that can only be if you've neutralized the problems. Have we neutralized the problems? What about shematashke? The answer is hasam duchka miachidla. So what are we left with? I guess the disappointing idea, right? I don't mean it literally, but meaning she eats this because she's an arusa, not because she's a nesua. Just she's an arusa without the problems that a regular arusa has. But that doesn't have to be the way to read the Gemara. The way we read the Gemara is saying, listen, Igiyaz Man means kiknusa ukechupa. Right? But the question is, because midrabanan only a nesuas ocheles bitruma. So then the question is, yeah, but just like we changed the daraisa din of arusa because of the factors of shematashke or simpon, how could you allow luyatsuya? There was a nesua or a mixas nesua who still had simpon and shematashke problems. Wouldn't it make total sense that you would be ma'akev the truma in that case? So the Gemara is not suggesting that you booby trapped the somehow when he got in the office he somehow did something, right? The Gemara is not saying that the yesod of Yigiyas Man in this in Truma is, you know, Dvar Torah or Russo Kelis Betruma. The Gemara is saying, in Ochanami, it's Nesua. But it still shouldn't work. Right? Those are two equally logical ways to read the Gemara. So what's the Gemara's answer? No! Hasam duchta miyached la. Again, the answer is also read two ways. Right? One is, right? So she eats betoras arusa. Or, so she eats betoras nesua because she's a nesua, which was a condition made by the original takana. And, right, that change, that din, nesua, ocheles betruma, is not jeopardized by these same problems. Right? That then the Gemara later on, just to complete it, on the bottom of Nun Chesam and Aleph, Zu Mishnah Rishona, my taima, Amr Ula Vitaima Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Mishum Simpo. Bishalom Uma Kamaisa Shem Yimzigo Kos Besu Avia Basraisa Mishum Simpon. And Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Kamaisa Mishum Simpon Basraisa Mishum Simpon. So the Gemara says, Maika Benayu Bidikas Chutz Mar Savar Bidikas Chutz Shma Bidika Mar Savar Bidikas Chutz Lo Shma Bidika. Okay. Basically, again, the same thing. Is the Gemara telling us that the machlok, the Gemara is basically linking the machlokas of Mishnah Rishon and Mishnah Achrona? We want it to be machlokas about the shame nesua, right? But the Gemara is saying it's a machlokas about simpon or shematashke. So one way in Achanami is to read it that way. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. It's a local question about Truma. Don't get excited. All our expectations are dashed. This is the most, you know, easy one to accomplish. But you don't have to read it that way. That's not, it could be. What the Gemara is saying is, for this to work, it's Nesua. But even the Mishnah Achrona would agree with it. Except that there's a problem. Just like Arusa had a problem, this level of Nesua has a problem. Oh, that depends whether you hold Simpon or Shematashke. So, let's take the Tosas Rid for a second. The Tosas Rid on Mem Ches Amud Beis, let's give me two more minutes for now, says something quite remarkable. What's the remarkable, Shai? What's the remarkable thing Tosas Rid says on Mem Ches Amud Beis? What is going on in Mem Ches Amud Beis, by the way? Another Mishnah, right? Right, in our travels to get more acquainted with the Masechta. What's that? Yeah, that's the Mishnah, maybe the Mishnah of what Chuppah is. Right, we'll discuss it more, but some for some people, probably for the Ran, right? La'olami b'rishus ha'av ad shetikanes l'rishus ha'bal, right? L'nisuin, maser av l'shluch ha'bal. He also discussed that, right? Is that really shluchos or shluchos shodim kemoso? So you could say kol she'eshno b'shluchos she'eshno b'tanai, like the Or Sameach. Or is it more a jurisdictional change? Right? He hands her over. Not Shluch HaShon Kamos. But either way, right? Harei Brishus HaBal. So what's the language of Leolam? Go ahead, Shai. My Leolam. The Gemara, yeah. Bafuke. Yeah. Meaning this Mishnah seems to reject Higiyazman. Interesting. Right? It's like the Mishnah Achrona. Okay. Now what's this Mishnah about? Well, again, it's hard to tell, but it sounds like the Mishnah is about defining Kuppa and Nisuin. There's still two ways to read the Gemara. I mean, my preferred way to read the Gemara is the Gemara is saying, well, here we're very clear that the Hagdara, at least in the case of Ketana, of Chuppa, of Nesua, is Mesiras Ha'av. Not Higiyazman. Oh, that puts Higiyazman and being rejected in pretty high company, right? You could also read the Gemara saying, well, we're talking about Le'olam, Inyan the Nafgamina, you know, which result. So practically, that seems to eliminate Higiyazman. Well, there are two ways to read the Gemara. What's fascinating is the Tosas Rid. Shai, so what does Tosas Rid contribute? Avapid, Amar. On the Olam, what does Tosas Rid say? Avapid, Amar, Rabbeinu La, Fuke, Mishnah Rishona. Lo Nisbatla, Linyan Mazonas. The Hacha Ozla, Suga de Shmaita, Kemaisa de Mechilton. Meaning that base. We'll skip a little bit. He's trying to prove that even the Mishnah, even the Mishnah Achrona believes in the Mizonos part, right? Alma Kimla Nachiyu b'Mizonos. V'afid Rabbanu like Pligi Ela b'Nedarim. Right, Dumi de Truma. Okay, Haidu Kamer Hachi Lafuke. Hachi Perusha Yitzrich Leolam. You're reading pretty well, Shai. Bereshusa Av, go ahead. Lafuke. Ooh, keep going. Afilu l'truma. Afilu l'truma, right? Uli rishasa. So where the Tosas read, number one, the Tosas read, we'll get back to this, has expanded the scope of Igiyazman significantly. Right? Where did Yerusha come from? Where did Maisi Adayim and Metzia come from? Number two, for our purposes of the moment, what's he saying? Truma is the linchpin. Meaning, if you think Higiyazman is a Chi of Mizonos, it's going to be limited. It's not going to include anything else. But if you agree that it includes Truma, then it's also going to include Metzia, Maisi Adayim, and Yerusha. Why? And linguistically, what's the formulation? Because then you're really saying, it sounds like the Tosas Rid is saying, let's deconstruct the Tosas Rid. What he's saying is as follows. If this is limited to Mizonos, like the Mishnah Achrona, then it's a technicality. It's a Knas, or it's a Hischaivus, or it's an implicit Tanai. Nothing to get too excited about. It's not Kiknusa or Kinesua, which is the language what he uses for the Mishnah Rishona, right? What is the Mishnah Rishona language again? The Avid La Ki'ishto L'Kol Davar. Whoa. Right? Afil La Truma. What do you mean Afil La Truma? She eats Truma. That's a yawner. That's because it's Betoris Arusa. But we've neutralized the Xeros. Not according to Tosas Rid. Tosas Rid is saying, if Mizonos is going to be seen as a technicality, right, if Truma's not with it, but if Truma's with it, then Truma, no, what about the Gemaras in Afalpi? They have to read them the other way, meaning Truma is going to work Midrabanan only if it's considered Kinesua. But you still have to explain why it isn't, why it's better than Arusa Midivrei Torah. Why is Nesua Midrabanan of Igiyazman any better than Arusa Midivrei Torah? But once you've said that and explained that, the fact that Truma is in the mix means he's Kinesua. Oh, Nesua. The list gets expanded. Mitzia, right? Maisi Adayim. Even Yerusha. Yerusha might be a Dindaraisa. Eliyahu.
More interesting read of the Tosas Rid. I spoke to your Shachter and he said that the Tosas Rid holds that even if he gives not blown Nisu, according to him, you wouldn't be Nisu in the cloud, and that there would be a Hadrubia and the Misu would be Hanuk.
I don't believe that. I don't know where. It would be more interesting if it were true. I'm not. He says the Kol Advarim.
He says based on the Tosas Rid gets it based on the Mishnah Rishonah, that the language of that, since
Where does Mishnah Rishonah's language prove that?
He's saying that once Igiel Zman hits, then she's Bershuso, and she.
Right, but we don't know for what. Hareza Ochlos Mishalova, Ochlos Mishaltrum. That's a Machlokas. As we know, there's a Machlokas Rishonah. We're going to get to the details when we finish this on Sunday. The Ritva. I mean, we know there's a Machlokas Rishonah whether or not the scope is greater or not, right? The Tosfos Rit happens to be expanding it considerably to Yerusha. You still might say that the matir of Heter Isha Labala requires more. I'm not saying no, but I don't see any proof. What? No. It's interesting, but I like it. But I'm not. I don't see it. It's certainly not the view of the Rishonim on Mishnah, even the ones who say, and. The Tosfos Rid pretty much says what he says.
He does mention Hafaras Nedarim, which is Doraisa.
No. Nedarim is easier to say, as we'll see, because that's Rabbi Eliezer in Nedarim. So we'll have to see about Nedarim in just a second. Oh. Yeah.
Didn't he say that Truma is Doraisa?
The Tosfos Rid? Well, I don't think he's not saying that. There's a day in the Ramban, since we're at it. Right, but I wouldn't know if that's the Raisa Rabbana. I think what he's saying is that Pashtus is that's Midrabbana. But the Din Rabbana on that, we no longer allow a Rusa to be Ochelus. But Truma, right? Midrabbana, they said, no, now we need Kinyan Kaspo Gamor Nesua. That's kind of the Mahalach that I'm suggesting. But that should be the right. Now, there is a day on the Ramban. So let me just get that on the record. Let me get two things on the record first, because I know I'm a little over time. The Ramban in Afalpi has a Deya, right, that maybe the Mishnah Rishonah holds that the Din Truma of Nesua is a Din Daraisa. Obviously, if you hold that way, then what emerges here is it's even more than the Tosfos Rid in a certain respect. But I think that the Tosfos Rid, anybody who doesn't say that, the Gemaras all say Minat Torah, it's Arusa. That's one day in the Ramban. It's clearly not his main view. I would assume the Tosfos Rid doesn't hold that way, but I would assume Tosfos Rid means, which you're quoting before, which I also am aware of, the second line on the top here, the Kinyan Kaspo Gomur Be'inan, that's what the Takana Drabanan was. But that it ends up affecting something like Yerusha, which is Daraisa, because it reflects that it's a din in the Suah, not just a din in Knas or in Chiyuv, I think that's clear. Let me add another thing to the mix. In the Sugya in the Darim, we have Rabba and Abaya. We're going to go inside, we'll read inside the Sugya and the Rishonim and the Darim next time, but we have Abaya and we have Rabba. Right. So Rabba said, there's a tlius between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim in Adarim and Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona Legabe Truma. And Abaya said, no, you can be Mechalek. So the reason that you can be Mechalek for Adarim we'll get to, Rabbi Pinchas, called Noderes Al Das Baila, right? We'll get to that. I don't want to do that right now. What's the reason to be Mechalek for Truma? Jonathan. Just give me 30 seconds more, really. Just
him waiting that it's...
What does the Gemara say? What's the reason to be Mechalek Bitruma? The Gemara says, even the Chachamim against Rabbi Lazar, who think Nedarim no, might think Truma yes. Why? What's the Gemara say? Why? You see? And the Gemara is Shaka Vataria. Yaakov? Because Truma Drabanan. Ah. So the Machlokas, Rishonim, what does Truma Drabanan mean in that context? Some Rishonim interpret that Truma Drabanan means Otitz Nakuv, Truma Bizmana Zez Drabanan. It's only a Din Drabanan. However, the Balei Tosus and the Rush say no, because Dvar Torah, Arusa, Ocheles, Betruma. Right? In other words, if you take that second shot, what you're really saying is Truma doesn't mean anything. The din of Truma is Higi Azman, is neutralizing the problem of Arusa Minatorah. The Rishonim are avoiding that, are basically saying, no, because Midrabanan, you really need the Suah. So the only way to explain this din is that the whole Truma Bizmanazeh or Otitz Nakuv or whatever is Drabana. Okay. Now, one final point before we adjourn for the day. Mizonos. So, according to Tosus Rid, what would seem to emerge is that Truma is the linchpin. So we have, again, the Tosus Rid, I think on Drabana level. The Machlokas had to read Drabanan in the Sugya and the Darim. And they have a bigger Chiddush that day on the Ramban, right, which is what Isaac was suggesting for Tosus Rid. I can't be sure it's not so, but I just don't think it's so. But we have that day on the Ramban that really, there's a view that Truma Daraisa needs Chuppah and yet has Higia Hazma. But either way, we'll take the Tosus Rid. If you only hold Mizonos, right? So that obviously doesn't trigger this wide scope, because that's a local limited din. And then we raise the question, how come Rashi quotes Takanas Bezdin and the Gemara in Perek Naira, but then he says also it's Drabana, right? So this, of course, highlights the question. So according to Tosus Rid, oh, the Mizonos is nothing. But according to Rashi, maybe it's something, or maybe it's only something because even Chuppah, it's only Drabana. So this should depend, as we said before, on this on the machlokas between Rashi and Tosus in the beginning of Perek Hamadia. So that's why I want to pick up with that part, Ayin Amud Aleph and Ayin Amud Beis, together with the Pnei Yeshua and the Avnei Miluim. And then I want to speak about, that's the first thing we're going to discuss quickly. Then we're going to go back to the Sugya and the Darim and the various, so we'll look at the Lashonos of the Ran, the Rashi there. Rashi isn't Rashi, but just the Lashonos and the Shaka Vitaria as well as the Yerushalmi in the Darim. Right, and then we want to go back and discuss some of the, you know, the sugya of Yibum, and so on. Okay, we'll try to finish everything on Sunday.